12:58, the final hour of Show and Vern. I am Ron, the show Hughley. That is Joshua Lamont Vernier and Dimples himself, looking very beautiful, wearing one of his better sweaters. Steve Sirt is in the building producing this bad boy and kindling a fire of love. All right, let me take it here real quick. So Kansas, Vern, came off a huge game. You watched it from start to finish. I know you did. Hung in there late. It was a big win. They were 1-6 on the road and kept themselves alive in the race. Tonight, they'll need Texas to beat K-State, which K-State goes on the road. Coverage starts right here on 610 Sports Radio at 7 o'clock. Bill Self's got a decision to make. And I this is one of the things that frustrate me about, and I've gotten used to when I first started this, really frustrated me about, I ain't gonna lie to you, still gets to me sometimes, is when people will say, well, ooh, what are you doing talking about Andy Reid and criticizing him? He knows more football than you'll ever know. What do you do then? And say that about Bill Self. He knows more basketball than you'll ever know. Yeah, I know. But just like I and just like you, you can watch sports and understand some things that are dead wrong. And sometimes the great coaches screw up and make wrong decisions. Like, yes, Andy Reid knows more about football than any of us. Still doesn't mean he don't make mistakes like, you know, with the clock. You, before the game against the Patriots, thought at some point Andy's going to force the ball to Tyreek Hill. There's no way he's going to walk out of here with Tyreek Hill only getting one touch. When you thought to yourself, man, Tyreek didn't even get a handoff, even though Andy knows more football than you, you still thought that was odd. Bill Belichick is the greatest coach, I would say, in the history of professional sports. He had Malcolm Butler. What the hell was that? Never at any point brought him into the game, and that was exactly what was crushing them. Guy who had played all. So great coaches make mistakes. Doesn't mean they're not great anymore, but you can criticize. Bill still has a huge decision to make that is a very easy decision. That is a decision that anybody who has ever has watched Kansas basketball, if you just arrived at it last night for the first time, but especially if you've been watching Kansas for the last month, 2 months, Marcus Garrett is going to be returning to action. Could be as soon as Saturday. Ankle injury. He's going to return very soon. We now see that Kansas has gone to a lineup, might I add, show called for, two bigs, because Kansas seems to struggle. They've played a lot better when he's put two bigs in now. McCormick getting a lot more minutes and time. That seems to be their best lineup. So we know who needs to come out. Well, it sure ain't Devon Dotson, who was the best player on the court last night, 25 and 10, a double-double and 5 assists. It sure as hell isn't Obagi, who has been a godsend, who Fran Fraschilla for the last 2 weeks has said is their best pro prospect on this team. 20-11 yesterday. Marcus Garrett's going to play. Probably the most trusted player Bill Self has. Your best defender is elite at that. If he wasn't injured, have a real opportunity to be defensive player of the year in this conference. We all know who should go take a seat and whose minutes should be diminished. And last night's game wasn't a sealer. The sealer happened weeks ago. Quentin Grimes should not be getting 36 minutes like he did last night. And when Marcus Garrett comes back, Vernon, it should be very easy that Quentin Grimes need to grab a seat. He needs to play less right now. I'm not saying shut him down and don't play him. I've said I believe the young guys need to get experience. Yeah, you should play him. He shouldn't be playing over K.J. Lawson, who did everything better than him in less time except for assist in the game yesterday. When you look at Quentin, Like, it's not personal to the kid. I hope he improves and gets better, and next year you see the guy who we saw who was the number 8 recruit in the country. But there are other kids who are deserving to be on the floor ahead of him right now, and he's doing more harm than good. Yesterday, I'm just telling you right now, there is not anything that I believe that kid does above average. He's not an above average defender. I think he's a below average defender. He's not an above average scorer. I think he's below. He's not an above average shooter. I think he's below. Man, before yesterday, his last two games, he had 9 turnovers and 1 assist. He's not a great passer. He's not a good passer. He's not confident. Like right now,
yeah, I think you should have started with that. Because I think the rest of it kind of falls under the umbrella of he's not confident. It was evident on those 8 3-pointers that he took last night, hitting only 1 of them.
None shot with confidence.
Oh, my gosh. It's not even like they were rimming out or he was just short or it was an unlucky bounce. Show. 5 of those 8 didn't have a chance the second they left his hand. I don't even know how many of those 8 he wanted to shoot. He just didn't have anyone else to pass it to. Man, watching it last night, look, I understand you've been there for every Kansas game. You're locked in. You're past the point that I'm at with this kid. I feel bad for him because all those things that you mentioned that you don't believe he's an above average this or that, man, he may be eventually, he maybe could have been, but it does seem as if Bill has looked at him like he's Devon Dotson. Like everything Dotson does is what it seems like Bill is expecting Grimes to do.
He
it
has
seems
something like for Bill, this kid, man.
It's like Bill is having a rough year when it comes to judging talent and identifying what he has.
Man, he called it out himself. He said it was such a bad mistake. Man, he was redshirting that cat. I mean, look how quickly Abaji has picked up college-level basketball. He played at Oak Park last year. With all due respect to Oak Park, like he wasn't playing McDonald's All-American games or Jordan Classic games like this kid was. And it's not personal to him. Like, seriously, it's becoming difficult to watch him be involved in it. Because, dude, listen, last night it seemed like if the rules didn't step in to prevent him to continue playing with fouls, that Bill Self was going to be hell-bent on playing him. He played the 3rd most minutes, more than Dedrick Lawson, and he was in foul trouble. If he didn't foul out, who knows what happened? He was running plays for him. In the overtime, running plays for him. And finally, when he fouled out, then Dotson, they ran it through him, and behold, they go to the line. It's not K.J. Lawson, in 16 minutes, scored 10 points and got 3 boards and played better defense throughout on 5 less shots. Like, it's an easy decision that I'm not confident that Bill's going to make.
I hope he does, just for the sake of the kid. They've played 5 games in the last 2 weeks. He's shooting 26%, averaging 5 points, 10 assists, and 11 turnovers.
Gun to head, harder scrotum, Vern. I honestly would think he would move McCormick out and put all 4 guards in.
Merciful thing, man. Do the
4 guards
thing. That's Pete Sweeney's music. Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride.
What's wrong with your phone, Pete?
Is he calling up here with a busted-ass phone? You got to be kidding me.
Just get your phone fixed, Pete. I was going to embrace Pete.
That takes a different kind of ego to call in, put yourself on the air as he does, and then the phone isn't even.
Oh, what's that? That's it. 5 minutes of show and burn all day. Real disappointed with Pete in Kansas City before. Quentin Nelson, Tiger Woods, LeBron James. So simple.
Those are three guys that make show horny. That's correct.
All right, you come in with a good step. No, shut this stupid music off. Pete Sweeney
of Arrowhead Pride, yeah. Editor-in-Chief, the great Pete Sweeney, joining us here on Show and Vern.
Even though I'm not glad you called, I'm still trying to take us to the top, so I'll use you. No, man, what is your thoughts on this? We just talked about this in the last segment, that it feels like, man, for us, the first thing that came to our mind was, at least mine, that Cleveland, if I had to set it up and look at it from the standpoint of Kareem Hunt, it felt like Cleveland was the worst possible place for him to go.
I think there's a good point in saying that because of the incidents that happened there. It's you know, you don't want to assume anything in these situations, but it certainly feels like he's surrounded by maybe some individuals that he grew up with that could potentially be a bad influence. And I look at when another player is drafted with troubles, if they go to a new city, what you allow them to do is a complete fresh start. You make new friends. You can get your life kind of back in the right direction. It's a little bit of a catch-22. I mean, he'll be surrounded by his friends and family. There's been articles that come out that maybe he doesn't have the best family even. So you think about that situation, and it almost feels like maybe somewhere far, far away would have been better. Maybe even like a lower tier team when it came to the city, like a Tampa Bay, for example, or a Jacksonville even comes to mind. I agree with that, and I hope that maybe it's the Dorsey connection where Dorsey's dealt with this before with, you know, a Tyreek Hill, and it's worked out, then maybe he feels like he has a handle on the situation, drafted him to begin with here in Kansas City. Again, it's tough because you wish the kid well, but again, you do raise eyebrows at A, signing him this soon, and B, signing him back to where all the trouble began.
Pete, what's been the reaction at arrowheadpride.com? I've been surprised that Kansas City fans aren't patting themselves on the back and looking down on the Cleveland Browns, more so jealous that the Browns now have your former running back.
I think there's a little bit of people out there in Kansas City who wish that the Chiefs would have kept him. They kind of feel, I've seen a lot of opinions out there that if he was going to go through rehab and so on and so forth and programs, and the Chiefs were going to help him with that, why not just keep him on the team? Again, there's a lot that's happening behind closed doors where he, you know, basically openly lied to the team, and the team wanted nothing to do with him when it came to a football standpoint. And I think that's good. If you're a Chiefs fan, I think the Chiefs did the right thing by releasing him originally. That's just my opinion. I don't think that's the opinion of every Chiefs fan. And I also think there's Chiefs fans out there that are in the group of good riddance and good luck and deal with that, Cleveland, so on and so forth, that say a little bit of screw John Dorsey, screw what's happening there, you know, and they're done with it. They're into Damian Williams and what the Chiefs wind up doing with the running back position here moving forward.
Thanks, Pete. Say thanks.
I don't need to say thanks to him.
Okay.
I really don't. And I'm going to kill Serta. One day I am. That was great insight from Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride.
It's very thoughtful.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Adam Schefter reporting that Antonio Brown has requested a trade. Spoken from his words and earlier saying, been a great 9 years in Pittsburgh. Also, remember tonight, big one right here. Coverage starting at 7 o'clock is Kansas State, the number one team in the Big 12 Conference by 2 games. We'll go on the road to Austin, Texas in the Frank Irwin
Center. Real quick, MLB.com's Mark Feinsett is reporting that sources confirm Jorge Posada is joining the Marlins organization as a special advisor to baseball operations. Again, that's Mark Feinsett of MLB.com.
As I told you, my 2019 resolution is to say things on air that I say off air. I don't think I've washed my hands for 10 years. Really, I don't really wash my hands ever.
Someone help me!
No, I inoculate myself. It's not, germs are not a real thing. I can't see them. Therefore, they're not real.
So you're becoming immune to all the
exactly.
bacteria.
Exactly. I can't get sick.
Oh, that's old Petey Hegseth of Fox and Friends saying he hasn't washed his hands in 10
What's
years.
His name? Petey.
Petey or Pete Hegseth.
No, I like Petey.
Petey Hegseth on Fox and Friends and Fox News says he has not washed his hands in 10 years.
Daryl Bevel, that guy.
If you're new to the show, Daryl Bevel is code for the F word.
Hell with that guy. That's bull. I don't even believe it.
It's not possible.
I don't believe it.
Off the Rundown.
Oh, God.
Off the Rundown, sponsored by absolutely no one. Someone could step the hell up.
Try it.
I don't want to try it.
Try to go 10 days without washing your hands. Whether it's a wiping scenario or a cleaning scenario.
What if you're cleaning poultry? I'm a person who cleans chicken.
Oh, you got to be careful with fowl.
Yeah.
Who could we get to try that?
Three,
I don't know.
Two,
I don't know.
Oh, we're not all going to say the same name at the same time?
All right.
Three, two, one.
Binkley. I don't want him to do it. Cats. I don't want him to do it.
Showering doesn't count. Yeah, Binkley or cats.
No, showering is how I'm guessing he clean. I'm sure the guy still showers.
He must really double down on the showers.
And the toilet paper, just in case there's a slip. And all of us, you know.
What, a puncturing of,
right,
of the
right.
toilet paper?
Yeah, and then you got a dirty hand or a
you
finger
get,
or
get a little too much you bargained for.
Right.
He doesn't believe in germs. Maybe he just wipes it off.
As much as Max pisses and poops and
that's
throws
your dog,
up.
Not your son.
In the house, I got to wash him. I just imagine, like this weekend, my daughter just threw up all over me.
There you go.
Including my J's. $187 on the price of those. Threw up all over me. To just think, well, man, just took that off and just going about the rest of my evening without washing my hands makes absolutely no sense.
I just don't.
Believe him. He's a lying piece of person.
I don't believe that it was 10 years, but I do believe he's gone a while since he's last washed his hands. That has to be at least 2.5 weeks, a week and a half.
Like, it's apparent he goes to use the restroom and just keeps on walking.
Yeah.
That we all know.
But now, is it
accepted?
Those
out there asking, it's the fours.
Is it accepted? Like, when Britt and the rest of them over there at Fox News
but could you
see him in the bathroom, like well, of course, Petey's not going to go to wash his hands. What are you going to do? Oh, Pete, you sicko.
Never shaking his hands ever again.
Yeah, just strictly fist bump.
Like, if it's somebody I know, like, I will... And I know you're not supposed to bully. I bully them into trying to make them wash their hands.
How so?
Hey, man, you're not going to wash your hands?
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, man, I will not be afraid to tell everybody out there that you just go in here and use the bathroom and don't wash your hands. I don't want you shaking my hand. I will. Because that's nasty.
I just remember who it is and then don't interact with them handshake-wise. Moving forward, I just go, let me see those shoes. Okay, anybody ever wearing those shoes, I will never shake their hand.
Yeah, that's nasty, man. I remember I had a dude told me, man, I don't wash my hands because I don't want them to get ashy again. I said, well, why don't you just carry some lotion with you?
Right.
I guess, man, there's no need to just be nasty because you don't want that Jergens to go away.
Like Ron was saying, though, tonight, 7 o'clock, Kansas State basketball. They take on Shaka Smart and the Texas Longhorns. 7 o'clock right here on your home for K-State Athletics, 610 Sports Radio. Also, a reminder, Thursday at 7, the Bruce Weber Show. So we got you covered, K-State fans.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful.
See, I know somebody. I got somebody in my life used to say that. In the 816, I don't go to the bathroom on my hands. That was their reasoning as to why they don't wash their hands.
Yeah, but
I don't urinate on my hands.
But you hold your.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless you are someone who takes a pissing, just puts both your hands to the back of your head.
Like my freshman football coach.
Like Ravishing Rick Rude.
He put both hands above the stall and just lean.
Yeah.
He's a big fella.
I do want to get into something, Vern, real quick about something that I feel like we get confused is one of the things that I've heard about people who are Chiefs fans who when they first saw the Cleveland Browns situation come down were upset that the Chiefs didn't keep Kareem Hunt. And reason being, Vern, would be because, man, you don't need choir boys on the team. You don't need choir boys. And then people were being critical of me because I have said in the past, like, you know, yeah, you don't need to have all great people. And I have been one who said Kareem should have been kicked off the Chiefs football team. And people have said, well, hold on. You wanted Peters there. You don't have any problems with Peters being on the team, but you have a problem. Like, it reminds me so much of when people will mix anything and make it all political. Police brutality. Oh, it's not talking politics. No, they're talking the fact that they want justice to be served. We're talking, not trying to get rule laws changed, just uphold the laws. And we'll just say these things. Oh, there we go, man. I hate when you all talk politics. Not talking just human rights, right? And upholding laws, not trying to change. It's a confusion of all those things that get thrown in together as just politics. Because maybe the president commented on it and it's politics. It reminds me of this. When we throw everything in the mix of, we'll use the term, not choir boys. Let me tell you, Jack, just like there's a difference between police brutality and politics, there's a difference, Vern, between not having choir boys and then criminals. Not having choir boys, people like the late Yordano Ventura, people like Ndamukong Suh, and people like the aforementioned Marcus Peters. Those guys are different from Greg Hardy, Joe Mixon, Aroldis Chapman, Floyd Mayweather. Marcus Peters is a guy who will challenge coaches and make it a personal foul penalty, not personal foul, but make it 15-yard penalties for taunting or something unsportsmanlike. My grab is genitalia on the way to the end zone. You know, Ndamukong Suh might step on your hand or do things that are a little across the line. But that's different than Greg Hardy.
It is, and it shouldn't be nuanced, but for some people that's details, right? That's details.
Is it?
Yeah, because from people that I was interacting with last night and even those that I've conversed with outside of Twitter, there's good and bad. That's it. And
really?
Marcus Peters... Well, I've explained this before, but I do think there's a faction of the fan base here in America where, you know, athletes abusing drugs, athletes taking steroids, athletes putting their hands on women or hands on other men, we're used to that. That happens. That fits. When I close my eyes and think of the modern athlete, that at times fits. So, okay, I can handle that. But when I close my eyes and think of the modern athlete, not many people are thinking of the Colin Kaepernick, the peaceful protest, speaking for social justice. That is abnormal. That is different. That's making it about yourself. That doesn't fit your stereotypical professional athlete. So that falls into the bad category. Now, they're not arguing. Of course, Kareem Hunt, Greg Hardy, Aroldis Chapman, what they did was bad. But what Marcus Peters did was bad, too. So either you're good or you're bad. And when you do stuff that doesn't fit what we expect from our athletes, and we can expect domestic violence, we can expect violence, we can expect drug abuse, you know, that is bad, yes, but we can condone it. Also, making it about yourself, a peaceful protest to some, is also viewed as bad. And furthermore, we don't expect that from our athletes. That doesn't fit our vision of the modern athlete. So that, too, falls into the bad category. It shouldn't be nuanced. You shouldn't have to explain it. You should understand the difference between Marcus Peters and Kareem Hunt. But oftentimes, they're all thrown into the same bucket.
No, that's just craziness to me. Like, yeah, I mean, as we've said, man, yeah, this is professional athletes. You're not going to have great guys rolling or great, like, guys and just stand-up guys rolling around. You're going to have some people who may push the envelope on things. But your Donald Ventura throwing at people is much different than Aroldis Chapman. And those things shouldn't be categorized together. All right, coming up, this to me is the number one reason why I think Kyler Murray's going to have issues in the NFL.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Criminals. He wasn't charged with a crime, so not a criminal. I don't think Hunt should be here either, but he's no criminal.
Technically, but you know. Again, you fit in one of two categories. Either you're the good athlete or the bad athlete.
You're right. OJ's not a killer.
He'll find him.
OJ's not a killer. Because they said he wasn't.
Earlier today, Danan Hughes was on with Fesco in the morning to discuss Kyler Murray breaking my heart and choosing football over Major League Baseball.
I don't know if I liked it or disliked it. I appreciated it, I guess, and I can totally understand it. I guess that would be the answer. I mean, the kid's grown up playing two, probably three sports his entire life, and I think that's a dream for most kids to not have to give up a sport. At least that's what it was for me, and it was the toughest decision I ever made was to give up baseball, but if you don't have to, and I want to put quotes around have to, then why should you? And, you know, he has the luxury of being able to dictate his future right now and control it. And, you know, I give props to him.
Yeah, Danan Hughes, check that out. Radio.com app. Check out Fesco in the morning, and you can find that on the podcast page there.
Subscribe to Show and Vern, please.
Subscribe to Show and Vern, please, as we love all of you. As we move forward with him now not playing baseball, and we talked about that yesterday, and something I'm happy for him because I believe he's happy. And
shut up.
And it pisses Vern off.
Shut up.
I think this to me is what the issue will be for him at the next level. And I think Lamar Jackson's going through it right now. And I think there are other quarterbacks that have gone through it. I think Kyler Murray is going to have a hard time for having his NFL teammates believe in him. I think that is going to be a hurdle that he is going to have to prove, and even prove in a different way than other players. Like, I think Larry Haskins, I just want to call him that. I know it's not Larry, but I just like it. Anyway, Larry Haskins, and even...
Oh, you mean Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State?
Yeah, but I like Larry Haskins. Larry Haskins from Ohio State, and I think even Drew Locke, be at a place where there'll just be something or where teammates will have a better feeling of belief than I think with Kyler. I just think, man, when you see him on your team and you start to see his height and weight and his look, and you know the athletes of the National Football League, especially defensive players, you look at that, it's going to have a hard time for you to have the belief that this cat is going to be good enough to play at this level. And when that is a problem, and when you don't have the belief of the team, of your teammates, and you play that position, that is concerning. That is an issue. That is one of the number one things at that position. All right, like we understand Pat Mahomes hadn't really taken a snap, and there was a level of belief. All right, and I know you saw some stuff he did in practice, but I'm just telling you, visually, you look at Kyler Murray, I think visually and watching how Lamar Jackson played, I think there was a lack of belief for some of his teammates. I think we talked about it earlier. Hey, third down and 10, how many people on the defense in their mind in Baltimore were mentally grabbing their helmets? Like, we're going back out. When they were down to the Chargers in that playoff game at home.
But that's deserved. Because Lamar went out there consistently and showed you an inability to pick up that third and 10 with his arm.
But you don't think there's a thought prior to him even arriving just by the view.
With most rookies when they walk into those, especially football, when they walk into that locker room, there's a man, you haven't impressed me yet. There's a handful of guys that when they come out, I'm sure maybe an Andrew Luck, a Cam Newton, they walk in the
you
door and like, all right, this dude's the truth.
But still, there's a you've got to impress me.
No question. But he could go out there in the first few months of practice, put on a show, and earn that respect. Hell, we heard Travis Kelce say, with Pat, I needed to see a little something before I turned everything over to Patrick Mahomes. I needed to see something from him first. But no, I mean, unless you think Kyler Murray's no good, then he'll earn that respect and that trust from his teammates.
I think the fight that he has is just visually. He just won't look the part. And I think that's even more than just the normal rookie, you've never played at this level.
I think the same can be said about Baker. I think Baker had that same thing coming in.
I don't think so, man. He was 6'1".
Yeah, but I
this cat's going to be 5'9".
What did NFL players respect, in your opinion, about Baker Mayfield coming in?
He was a competitor, and he had a lot stronger arm than you thought of. And I think
that same competitive nature, that same attitude on the field, the same way that he leads his teammates is identical to Kyler.
I'm with you. I think the front office people and decision makers view it that way. It's much more of an analytic nature of how things are looked at. But I'm talking about the players. I don't think the players in Cleveland looked at Baker and thought, just visually, the look of him doesn't feel like I have real belief that he could play at this level. Mm. I think with Kyler Murray, man, that cat's 5'9", little hands.
But he's an athlete.
He's an athlete, but he's playing quarterback. I just feel like that's going to be a battle from within, from his teammates, looking at him and just having, man, I don't believe.
I think the athletic nature that Kyler showcased, not only while playing at Oklahoma, but also being drafted in the first round of Major League Baseball, earns him the same amount of respect that the brashness of Baker Mayfield earned him. Like, I think they come into their respective camps on the same footing.
Sir, do you think that? You think the way that teammates, like NFL players, will viewed Baker Mayfield, they will view Kyler the same way in terms of a...
I don't think that's true.
I don't agree
Why?
With that.
Again, it's not ability. We're not talking ability. When you walk in, we all know what you did in college. To me, the athleticism of Kyler Murray earns him a little bit of credit, just like the brashness of Baker Mayfield earned him a little bit of credit.
Yeah, I think...
Sure. I just think that with, Baker was outspoken, but you could see Baker's gifts and you could see Baker. Like, what got Baker drafted number one overall was his skill set, but it was also his attitude, in my opinion. Like, I think John Dorsey just looked at him and said, he might be loud and obnoxious sometimes, but that guy just wants to win more than everybody else does, and he's proven that time and time again. Kyler Murray's a competitor, but I don't see that type of attitude in Kyler Murray.
No, but he has the athleticism that Baker didn't. Again, I'm not saying he does something better or Baker does something. Baker's brashness earns a certain amount of credit amongst grown men for the way that you went about your business in college. I think the athleticism of Kyler Murray earns a certain amount of credit among grown men when you walk into that locker room.
I feel like even though his game is different than these guys, I feel like they'll have the same visual or same thought process that people had when Lamar and Tim Tebow entered the room. In a different way, but I think his height and his size, you just never seen that before. And I think that's going to be an issue. Newsflash.
Serta's newsflash.
For the second time during his historic scoring streak, James Harden needed until the final minute of the game to reach 30 points. However, the streak rolls on. Harden knocked down a three-pointer from the left wing with 53 seconds to reach 31 points last night in a Rockets win over the Mavericks.
Just own it, James. I saw him after the game. All I care about is the win. They're like, why'd you smile right after you scored that 30th point? He's like, oh, because I knew that was the final one to win the... Man, Russell Westbrook's 10 straight games, 10 straight triple-doubles, that to me is more impressive than what James
Harden... 30 games of 30 points?
Yes. Because Wilt never went 10 straight games with a triple-double. Russell Westbrook still, I think, doesn't get the proper amount of credit.
Sometimes when you see his teammates just clear the hell out so he can get rebounds.
What the hell was happening late in that game? They were all trying to get James Harden to 30.
It's
the same thing.
It's not as impressive as it was years ago. James is pretty impressive. Just to not have any off night, even though he gets all the shots, just to not have any off nights. I mean, look.
He's had off nights. He just keeps throwing it up there.
I mean, you look at a guy like a Quentin Grimes, and you see the type of off nights he's having, and to think that...
And leave that kid alone.
James Harden wouldn't have a shooting performance.
Well, Paul
like
George's triple-double. Dropped 47 on him.
Paul George is a sucker. He didn't have the balls to go play in L.A. and be under the scrutiny of being a
LeBron
teammate.
Very happy that Ronnie Hughley could be my guest.
Been great this year.
There was no reason. There was no reason. None. Money shot coming up.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
See what in.
From the text line 816, speaking of Paul George, why would he go to L.A.? He could make the same money in Oklahoma City, and everything is cheaper from food to how much is taken out of your check. You ask me, it's smart to stay, because that's where everybody wants to live. Especially if you're from Los Angeles, you definitely want to live in Oklahoma City. Get out of here. He has no chance to win a championship. With Russell Westbrook. No team. Unless he goes over
Nobody
the top.
Nobody has a chance to win a title anywhere outside of Golden State.
Even if they break up, he's got no chance. Russell Westbrook can't be the dominant person taking most of the shots and be the number one on your team. And you win a championship.
Hold on. So we're eliminating the Warriors? Of course they have a chance.
I'm saying if the Warriors weren't, if like Durant left and went to the Knicks, they don't have a chance. Yeah, they don't have a chance. You're not going to – no one with Russell. And I love watching Russell. Not going to win a championship, but he's your one. In Oklahoma City, he's always going to be the one, and he'll keep taking shots. If they need a three, even though Paul George is clearly the best three-point shooter on the team, Russ has got it.
Damn right.
And he'll take it.
I love Russ.
I love him too, but you're not going to win when he's the number one. The best chance he had was when Kevin Durant was with him. And he was the two. But then Russell wouldn't allow it at times. So, sexual misconduct.
What?
Yeah, we're not. We're not as good visually as what other teams we've had are. But that didn't mean we don't have a good team. I mean, but when you talk about, you know, pros and experience and you're losing, you know, National Players of the Year and First Team All-Americans, and you're playing with, you know, starting four freshmen. You know, you got four of your top seven talented players that aren't even in uniform. It's a different group, but that doesn't mean we can't win, and that doesn't mean we can't still accomplish, you know, similar goals. And so I do think that we haven't hit our stride yet either. So I think our best is still ahead of us.
What was it about that was – Bill Self, head coach of the
Kansas
Jayhawks.
I thought
Jayhawks.
That would get you all kind of sports horny.
What did that? Why? What is it about it?
Because he acknowledges that viscerally they're not the same ball club that they've been in years previous. But his excitement, I thought, came through the radio there at the end about how the best is still ahead of us. I think he left that game last night encouraged with what he saw from some key members of his team. And all of a sudden, he feels as if, all right, now I can mold this squad to a team that can at least fight for a Big 12 title, a Big 12 tournament title, and can make a dent in the NCAA tournament. I feel like a week and a half ago, he didn't have this feeling about his squad. And I thought that came through at the end when he said the best is still ahead of us. Because all you've been doing all season is, well, I guess we'll just start looking towards next year.
I've not said that. And I think that's really unfair.
Even when they had Doak, you would go on about how this isn't, well, this Kansas team just isn't the same. Even when they were at full strength
that's not true.
And number one in the country, it's still what they were in years previous.
You're literally just lying.
Speaking truth. I don't know why I'm lying.
What did I say?
I don't remember it verbatim, but I know it was something similar to what I just
said. I've literally repeatedly said, I have the expectation they get to the Final Four.
Right.
I have the expectation. What the hell is that talking about next year about? That's a lie. And even this year, I have not said, even when they've had the injuries.
You talked about the young kids and how this could be an investment for the future, and now down the stretch, we will just watch them grow and see what they can become, because Bill Self's going to have a team that's likely to stay the same for the next few years.
Oh, I said that these guys can build, but I did not say, oh, I'm done watching this year.
I never said you were done watching this year. It's over for next year.
Then you went to the that.
I never lied.
You did.
I didn't say you were done.
The first one was pathetic.
God, you get so angry when we talk about Kansas. Because, why is this?
Because you just said even when they were full strength, you said that.
Yes, you were losing your mind in November when they were full strength and the number one team in the country.
As a Michigan football fan, you're absolutely pathetic. When you act
the hell does that have to do with anything?
Because you're pathetic. Because you act like you don't have expectations about your team.
Not with Jim at the helm.
The person to me who won't celebrate a road victory against or a home victory against a top 15 team in Wisconsin.
No.
Because we don't care about beating Wisconsin.
No, that game doesn't matter.
Yes.
We've won that game before.
That's asinine. All right? That's crazy talk. And you would be mad at me because I would think some of the performances weren't good enough with the number one team in the country.
Remember how this all started?
Get out of here.
I was encouraged with what I heard from Bill Self, and I'm excited about what February and March could hold for Kansas fans, and somehow Ronnie Hewley over here is all pissed off about it.
Stop. Stop doing it.
Very happy that Ronnie Hewley could be my guest here in the 8 o'clock hour on Chico After Dark. Ronnie is a midday host, co-host of Show and Vern.
I like that guy.
I mean, Ronnie, I think my nickname's okay. All right, Ronnie, let's get right to it. The one common denominator, and this is where you can absolutely comment on this, Ronnie. Talking to Ronnie Hewley, he's midday host. Well, Ronnie, you brought up some really good points. Ronnie, great stuff, buddy. I appreciate the time, and hopefully we can visit again sometime soon.
All right.
All right, thanks. That's Ronnie Hewley on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
He's got a great voice.
Oh, no doubt.
Is quite possibly the worst place he could go.
It feels like Satan couldn't have come up with a better place for Kareem Hunt to go than back home to Cleveland.
The way 6'10 sports personality Ron Hewley looked.
That audio courtesy of 92.3 in Cleveland and KCTV5 here in Kansas City.
You feel good about yourself?
A little bit, I do. Are you less angry than you were 3 minutes ago as we all...
Stop texting in Ronnie and Vern. Stop it.
Either way, big win for those Jayhawks last night. All right.
The part that was good about it last night, the part that I think Bill Self really got off to, and I mean got off in a sports horny way of his own. I'm not talking about his personal life. Right. But what he got off to, I think, was a big moment in the game, and that was at the end of the half when Dedrick Lawson, the best player on his team and probably Big 12 Player of the Year, went off and got mad to the point where he kicked him out of the huddle, and then he set him down the rest of the 3 minutes of the half. I secretly believe Bill Self enjoyed every second of it. If you've watched the Kansas team and you look at some of his best teams, he loves hard asses. He loves, like, some of his favorite players are some of the real crazy ones. Sharon, Darnell Jackson, Tyshawn, Thomas Robinson. I think he enjoyed seeing fire coming from him. All right. He does really care. I do get to see a little a-hole. I think Bill enjoys seeing that from his players. And I think when Dedrick did that, because last Monday, if you think from last Monday, Dedrick was doubled over, falling over the ground multiple right. times. And I think one word you haven't used, Bill use a lot, is that they're soft this year, because I think he really believes that they're soft and that they're fragile and they may not be able to handle being called that. So I thought he said, hey, I think he said over to sleazy Curtis Townsend was
the
like,
money shot.
Hey, I enjoyed that a little bit. The money shot. Let's finish this thing with a bang, brought to you by the Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city, is now open in the Crossroads and is the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Vernier, finish them off.
When Detroit Lions head coach Matt Patricia was asked about the Lions being the team on HBO's Hard Knocks, he said, quote, I think John Gruden is an excellent choice for that show. I think the Oakland Raiders and everybody and everything they've got going on right now would be fantastic viewing for everyone to watch. To see the Lions and the Raiders try and pass this Hard Knocks back and forth, to take you back to high school, remember when the two kids that would always get picked on, instead of teaming up and trying to take down the cool kids, they would then turn on one another, pick on one another, point out the faults of one another, pick on him, bully him. That's what this is. Lions, Raiders, neither one of you has a voice.
Wow.
No one wants to hear what the Lions have to say about the Raiders, what they have to say about themselves, what the Raiders have to say about the Lions.
This is your Lions fandom coming out.
Oh, you want to see the Lions on Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
You do.
I do.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
From a car landing owner.